You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Father, I'm so thankful to be here this morning. For your safety, for your protection, for all that you've done for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray now that we would be so focused on hearing your voice. We would be open to what you have to say to us this morning. Father, I pray that there'd be deliverance, that there'd be repentance, that there would be eyes open this morning. Have your way now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So you ever hear multiple messages in a week and you think, God's trying to tell me something? And that's happened to me this week with two different topics, really. And I've really been trying to think and figure out what God's trying to say to me personally. But a combination of all those messages will be the sermon today. And we're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 12. And I guess what I want to talk to y'all about today is about retirement. We got anybody retired in here yet? We got a couple, I know, that are, but not many of us. Many of us are still working. But how many of us have thought about retirement? It's a pretty good thought, right? I think about it. I think about retiring, but I don't want to talk about it so much in the workforce, but what I want to talk about is with God. Because I think what's happening sometimes is that we're getting to a place in our life where we think, well, we can just put on cruise control. We've worked hard. We've done this and we've done that. And it's time to let someone else take over. And it's time to let someone else do it. And y'all, when you look at the shape of the world, I don't think it's time for any of us to put it on cruise control and kick back. I think it's time for all of us to step up. And Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, there's so much in that verse, and we've talked about that verse quite often, but there's a few key things there that I want to point out to you that it says. It says, run with perseverance. And so, perseverance is what? It's keep going. It's don't stop. I think sometimes with our walk with God, it's like we're running a sprint instead of a marathon. And what should we be running is a marathon. It's not who can get there the fastest. It's the endurance. It's the perseverance. It's continuing on. And then another thing, at the end of there, it says, we'll not grow weary and lose heart. Has any of you ever grown weary and lose heart? You don't have to raise your hand, but sometimes I've been there. It's so funny, and I'm probably even kind of ashamed to admit it now, but after a few years of preaching here, I was looking for any way I could to get out. Not out of the church, but out of preaching. I loved y'all. I didn't want to leave. I just wanted someone else to preach because I felt such pressure. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was just relying upon the Lord. And you know what? I still don't know what I'm doing. I'm still just relying upon the Lord. But there was a time, and I remember even telling a coworker of mine, I think my time's up at Coop Prairie for preaching. And I was checking in to other people. And nothing worked out. And you know what's funny is, I'm not looking for an out anymore. I'm not looking for someone else to come and take my spot anymore. I thought of that this week. I thought, God, thank you. Thank you that I'm not trying to step aside anymore. Is there still times of growing weary, though? Yeah. Is there still some times that I lose heart? I don't know if losing heart would be the right description. Sometimes my heart breaks for people, for things that I see, for where I see people are losing heart, where I see people are not running with perseverance, and then that's discouraging sometimes. But y'all, for each one of us, my question to you is, have you got in your mind to not give up, to not grow weary, to not lose heart, to not be sprinting as fast as you can, to be running that marathon with the Lord? 1 Corinthians 9:24-26 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man fighting, or like a man beating the air." So key verses there, run to get the prize, not aimlessly, but with a purpose. Are we running to get the prize? Are we running with a purpose in our life? Not aimlessly just going about and living life, but running with a purpose. Running with a sense of that God has a plan for my life. And maybe this has been on my mind because we went through a lot of big changes in the last few months at home. All of us have went through changes with the COVID and what's going on. And then Madeline moved out and then Hayden left. And so we've had nobody at home for the last 4 weeks, and I'm thankful Hayden's back. But it was an adjustment, and there was times that it was like I had free time. And most of y'all got young kids and everything. You don't know what free time is, do you? You're like, I know those days. It's like, you know, the kids are tugging on you. You got work, you've got responsibilities, you got all this stuff to do, and you don't have free time. In the last 4 weeks, not every day, but there was a few days, it's like, wow, I can really relax. I don't have anything to do. And y'all, that's important sometimes. That's good to have that time that you can relax and have that free time, but we need to be careful that free time doesn't become a god in our life, that we crave it so much and we shake off our responsibilities, that we're supposed to be doing the things that God has called us to do. If you go back to Galatians chapter 6, Galatians 6 verses 9 and 10, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And so here it is again. Let us not become weary in doing good. We need to keep going. We need to keep doing. We need to stay active. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good." Do you have opportunities to do good, to serve, to help people, to pray for people? I'm going to try not to yell so much. Was it last week you heard me yelling? Crystal's in the nursery and she's like, "I can hear you in the nursery yelling." Someone who watches our videos made the comment, "Man, he kind of yells a little bit, don't he? He gets stirred up. I'm going to try and bring it down a little bit, okay?" But y'all, as we have opportunity to do good, are we taking advantage of those opportunities? Life is funny, and we all go through different stages in our life. And many of you, I know right now, you're busy with your children, jobs, with your responsibilities. I was talking to Tim Friday night and he was saying, you know, I'm in a different place. He said, "I'm retired. I can sit and study the Bible all morning if I want. I don't have to do anything. I can sit and I've got time to do that." And he was after me about watching a video, if I'd watched it yet. But and most of y'all know, with the men's group Wednesday night, I came straight from work, and then I went straight from work home, and then I don't remember what I did, and it was like after 9 o'clock before I even got a shower and sat down, and then I get up at 5:30. It was like the day was shot, and then, you know, it's like every day this week, it was like I was swamped, I was busy. Friday, you know, as soon as I got home from work, I'm mowing, and then I got to study, and it was, you know, 9 o'clock, and I'm eating dinner, and, you know, and it's like, wow. But my life's not always like that anymore. I remember when my kids were little, and it was every day it was like that. But what I'm worried that can happen in my life and can happen in your life is that we forget and we get lazy and we don't really give of ourselves anymore. And we quit looking for those opportunities to serve, to do good, to help those around us. If you flip back one chapter to Galatians 5, 7 and 9. Galatians 5, 7 and 9 says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? What kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you? A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough." Can I ask you something? Was you on a good track? And all at once, COVID happened. All at once, a sickness happened. All at once, you ball season started. All at once, whatever. Something cut in on you, and you lost your focus. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? See, what happens is, and what's happening, I believe, is that Satan oftentimes doesn't come and get us with the big sin, like, what I'm saying is, you know, the adulterous affair, the theft of property. But what he does is he can get us busy and he can get us distracted and get that little bit of yeast working through the whole batch of dough. And all at once, you're not running the race that you first set out to run. You're not serving the Lord as you first started to do. And many of us are looking at retirement. Retirement from the gospel. Retirement from serving. I heard a preacher say, and I thought that this was really good. He said that many times the moment that people can have the most opportunity, the most wisdom, the most time is the very time they stop. You know, when I first started here, I hadn't been here a few weeks. I was a new Christian, like few weeks, baptized, few weeks, teaching youth. It's okay. That's what I wanted to. I felt like God called me, you know, and it was great. It was wonderful. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just down there. The kids knew more than me. And I was, you know, just jumped right in. But y'all, what happens often is our young people come into church and we say, yeah, you can do this and you can do that. Because what? They're on fire for God. They're full of energy. They're doing all these things. And what do? We step back and go, there you go. You got it. I can watch. I can take life easy. When really, we should be training. We should be discipling. We should be teaching. Because we've had some experience. We've got more wisdom now. Is this making sense to anyone? But what? We're tired. We're tired. We've done that. We did the vacation Bible schools. We did the church camps. We did the lock-ins. I remember the lock-ins. Oh my goodness. Staying up all night. And I asked Hayden, you know, getting home from camp. He ended up with the littler kids. I said, "Do you have any try and sneak out on you?" He said, "No, they were all too scared of the dark." You know, he didn't have any problems. But I remember church camps, sleeping by the door, and Justin Allison, it was like every time I would almost fall asleep, I'd hear him whispering. And I think Chris Hudson was with him. He said, "Is he asleep yet?" And they'd get up, and I wouldn't say nothing until they got right at the door. And I'd say, "Hey!" I said, "Y'all's not going to outlast me." But really, I was dying. I was so sleepy. But I wasn't going to let them sneak out, you know. And I'd stay up all night. And then what? You got to get up early the next morning. Y'all, I lock in. I'm too old. I am. I feel like I got a bedtime now, you know. But where I got to be careful is now that I'm going into a different stage of my life. My kids don't need me like they used to. I'm going to have more free time. That I don't kick up my feet and go, life's good. And I put it on cruise control and I stop looking for opportunities to serve. And I let that little bit of yeast of laziness, that little bit of yeast of idleness creep in and grow inside of me. Y'all think it can't happen? It happens. It happens. We can see it in our culture right now of what's taking place with jobs. People don't want to work anymore. You know, people don't want to, they want the government to take care of them. I ain't going to lie to you. When there for a while we were so slow at work and they was asking me every day, you want to go home early? You want to go home early? You want to go home early? I had to fight it to stay in work. And a lot of days I didn't win. I go home. I went home. I have stuff I can do at home. This is great. Till you get your paycheck and then you go, what am I doing? But then that's at work. We aren't talking about that. I'm talking about with the Lord right now. I'm talking about with your relationship with our Heavenly Father. I'm talking about what He's called you to do and living your life with purpose, living your life with a sense of that God's called me for something. God's given me something in my heart, something in my life. Joshua 14, 7 through 12. Joshua 14, 7. Let me find it. He says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to the Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. And y'all, really, I think that that's what it's breaking down to. Are we following our Savior wholeheartedly? Because what Satan's doing is he's mixing in leisure. He's mixing in vacation. He's mixing in tiredness. He's mixing in the newest Netflix to binge on. He's mixing in the good book that you're reading. He's mixing in all these things to where all at once our love is divided and we're not following God wholeheartedly. Verse 9, so on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses. Now wait a minute. So he's 40 years old and He's kept him alive for 45 more years. So he's 85, right? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, who's in their 80s here? Ruthie. I think she's the only one, right? Since Miss Margie's in Texas, and she's 100. And I thought, well, Ruthie may not be the best example of people not doing anything, because Ruthie is still very active. I mean, she goes and does ziplining with Amanda last year in Hawaii and all that, you know. But oftentimes what happens, the older we get, we slow down and we stop. And we stop going and we stop doing. But here, he's 85 years old. He says, I am 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. What? He's still as strong today. He says, I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said. An 85-year-old man saying, I'm just as strong. I'm just as vigorous. Let's go to battle. He knew that there was still a battle to be fought. Do we understand that there's still a battle to be fought? There's battles in our homes. There's battles in our workplaces. There's battles in our community. There's battles in our churches. Church, it's not time to give up. It's not time to put it on cruise control and say, life's so good, life's so great. You know, we can look at the news and say, this is going on in New York, or this is going on in California, or this is going on in Florida, or wherever. But you know what? If it's going on there, eventually it will get here. We've seen that with the virus. We all shut down when the COVID was in New York, and now we're all opening back up and the COVID's here when we probably should have stayed open months ago. And now, you know, anyway, that's all. But you see how it spread from New York to here. Oh, it's the same thing with the culture. It's the same thing with the issues. There's still a battle to be fought. Are we ready to battle today? Are you really ready to battle today? I want to go to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. I've lost my watch, so I have no idea what time it is, but we got started late. We're not having service tonight, so I'll still try and hurry. Matthew 25. Are you ready to battle today? It's Matthew 25, verse 1 says, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep." So can I ask you, have you fallen asleep? Have you fallen asleep with your walk with God? Have you fallen asleep with the things at church? We just do the same old things every week. Well, the COVID's kind of shaking things up a little bit, and that's what I'm praying about. God, help us. If you want things shook up, then let's start back differently. Let's do things differently than what we used to do. But not just to do things differently, but God, you give us direction. You give us guidance. But sometimes we need to be shaken a little bit because we've fallen asleep. About verse 6, "At midnight the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.'" And I've got written out next to that, "relying on someone else." You know, the thing is oftentimes people's walk with God, they're relying upon someone else. I know husbands and wives husbands and wives are to be one, but I know husbands and wives that's had problems, and you know, the husband, it seems like more often than the wife, if there's a problem at home, he bails. And he's been relying upon his wife when it should be the wife's relying upon their husbands. And too often we're relying upon others. We rely upon our parents or the preacher or the elders or whoever. But y'all, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to know whether we've got enough oil to last or not, whether we've got enough to make it through. Verse 9, "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." You don't know the day or the hour. You don't know the day or the hour. And I heard a preacher saying this week, he said, if you knew that in the next 24 hours the Lord was coming back, would you change your life? Would you live differently? If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, I don't know what time it is, 11:30, 11:45 tomorrow, the heavens was going to open up and here comes Jesus and you were going to be called up, how would you live the next 24 hours? I can't remember what great preacher it was that he'd said that question was posed to him, and he said, "I'd live it no differently than I'm going to live it today anyway." Because he was living each day wholeheartedly serving the Lord. Y'all, for many of us, we put it on cruise control and we begin to take life easy, and we're not seeing the urgency of continuing serving the Lord, and our oil is getting low and our lamps are getting dim. We're ready to retire. We're ready to throw in the towel. Only you can know in your heart how's your walk with God. Only you can answer that. I can't look at you. I can't tell what's going on inside of each one of us. We can put on a fake happy act. We can put on a good act and on the inside be drained down because we're not where we're supposed to be. And this message isn't all about get up and serve, which I think we do need to get up and get active, but it's more about, are you doing what the Lord tells you to do? Period. It's not, okay, let's start back having vacation Bible school, let's start back with this class, let's start back with that class. No, that's not what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is, are you wholeheartedly seeking the Lord each and every day and keeping your lamp full? Because the hour is approaching rapidly. The day is coming quickly. And God has something for you to do. And God has something for me to do. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Wearing those masks. There's a lot of businesses. FedEx started requiring us to wear them this week. So at one point I had my mask on. I go in the bathrooms and I see myself in the mirror and I say, who is that old dude? Man, look at those eyes. I'm getting old. And you know, when I get up in the mornings now, it's weird. I gotta kind of get my muscles moving. After my muscles get moving, yeah, I'm still good, you know, but it takes a minute, you know, stretching out and everything. Get moving. Outwardly, I'm starting to fall apart. But y'all, that's no excuse for what's going on the inside. That's no excuse for throwing in the towel. That's no excuse for saying, I worked hard. There was a young man one time, and when I say young man, best of my memory, this was years ago, he was probably in his mid-20s. And he'd worked and he'd served for several years for the Lord. And y'all, he was having heart issues in his mid-20s. And I went to the hospital to visit with him. And you know what he told me? He said, Pete, I'm done. I've worked hard. I served. I did this and this and this. And he started naming all the things that he'd done for the Lord. He said, I've done my part. I'm through. I thought, man, that's a terrible, terrible attitude to have. You're a young man. But you know what? It's a terrible attitude for any of us to have. Whether we're in our mid-20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Because as long as there's breath in your lungs, God has a purpose. God has a plan for you. And it's not time to retire yet. I think that each of us need to look at Caleb's life. And one of the biggest things that I see in Caleb's life is not only that he served the Lord wholeheartedly, but that God kept him ready for battle. It says God kept him prepared. So if God has a plan and a purpose for you, and you're following him wholeheartedly, he's going to take care of you. He's going to protect you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to make sure that you're well equipped to do whatever He's called you to do. And y'all, that's not to say that outwardly there may be a little bit of wasting away. There may be tired times because the enemy is going to come and he's going to say, you're too old to do that. You're too fragile to do that anymore. You just can't do that anymore. But if God's given it to you, the task, you keep on. You keep on. And He will give you everything that you need. Equip you to serve for whatever task He has for you. So, that's what the Lord's been saying to me this week. And maybe, I didn't think I was contemplating retirement. I didn't think I was getting ready to give up. But y'all, we all battle times of discouragement, I think. And just, God, what do you have for me? And I'm pretty sure we all battle times of idleness and laziness where we just want to kick up our feet and go, well, I'm through. I need a week or two off, but that's fine. You need a week or two off, but don't let those week or two turn into month or two, turn into year or two, turn into you're out of oil and you're no longer ready to serve. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your word. And I pray for encouragement for each and every one of us, Lord. If there's any here that is tired, if there's any here that is worn out, that's weary, I pray that You would bring encouragement to their bodies right now. Father, if there's any here in their heart and mind, they've been thinking about giving up. They've been thinking about throwing in the towel. They've been thinking that, Lord, it's time for someone else to take over. Father, may they seek direction in You. Just as Your word says, who cut in on You and did this and the little bit of yeast, Father, may that yeast not work through us. May there not be a spirit of idleness and laziness come over any one of us. But may we understand that You have a purpose, that You have a plan for each and every one of us. May You lift us up now. May Your will be done in each and every one of our lives, each and every day of our life. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
The more I seek You, the more I find You. The more I love You, I want to sit at Your feet, drink from the cup in Your hand, lay back against You and breathe, feel Your heartbeat. This love is so deep, more than I can stand. I melt in Your peace. It's overwhelming. The more I seek You, the more I find You. The more I find You, the more I love You. I want to sit at Your feet, drink from the cup in Your hand, lay back against You and breathe, feel Your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in Your peace, it's overwhelming. the more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat.
Some of us, that's what we need to do, is just sit at the feet of Jesus a while, praying and seeking Him. Spending some time with the Lord. As I was praying, I thought of any of y'all ever watch America's Funniest Home Videos? I love that show. I watch the old reruns. It's on the Family Channel, and you know, I don't know. It just cracks me up, some of the stuff. But there was this lady, and I don't know why I laugh when people fall. And I even laugh at myself when I fall, okay? I just can't help it, you know? But there was a lady that, like, her front porch camera showed her, and she walked out, and it was ice. And she, woof, just went down to the bottom. And here comes her husband out of the house and his little girl, and he's like, you can just tell, it's no audio, but you can just tell he's like, you know, like, just grab a hold of the rail or whatever. So he grabs a hold of the rail, and he takes off, and woof! There he goes and falls just like her. And then you can see them both doing this to their daughter, like, don't come, don't come, because they don't want her to fall too. You say, Pete, what are you talking about? You've lost me. I was just thinking, though, how many times that happens with Christians. And one takes off and falls. And like so many times, others follow and fall and fall and fall. It's crazy. We've had friends that's got divorced before. And it's weird because when someone gets divorced, you can almost bet someone else is going to get divorced. And then someone else is going to get divorced because they all start hanging out with each other. And the one says, well, this is wonderful. And then the others follow. Y'all, there's just something about how sin and that yeast works through us. And we can kick back and we can take life easy and say that's someone else's job and others are going to follow. You're going to say, that's not my responsibility. That's not what I'm, you know, that's someone else. Y'all, let's be Caleb's. Let's set the pace for everybody else. Let's throw off every sin that so easily entangles us, and let's run this race with perseverance and endurance and not grow weary. If we have 5 people here, if we have 2 people here, if we have 250 people here at your workplace, if you're winning souls like crazy, or if nobody even talks to you, don't give up. Keep your lamp full. Run with perseverance. All right? Pray about Sunday nights. The Lord put something on your heart. Maybe that's what we're supposed to do. The Lord put something on your heart. Let me know, because it's strange to me that we're not back. I don't know, but I'm trying my best to be obedient. And someday when I get to heaven, the Lord might say, Pete, I told you this and you weren't listening. So help me to have clarity. Help me to listen. Because I want to listen. And I want us to be the church that, I don't know how many of you remember when we left off on Sunday nights, we were in Acts studying the New Testament church and what it meant to be a church. And they were meeting every night. They were fellowshipping every night. They were hanging out. They had relationships. And that's what my desire is for all of us. Is that relationship, that true relationship. All right, I've talked enough. Y'all have a good afternoon.